With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
You're listening to The Trade Gods.
What's going on, everyone? It's your boy, The Trade God, Jason. Today, I am joined with the @FF_intervention on Twitter, my man Chase Vernon. You've seen him guest over on Wake and Take. You've seen him on his shows, The Fantasy Football Intervention. And he's here for the Trade Gods today. How are you doing?
Dude, don't forget about the Big Tilt, bro. Like, that's where this crowd knows me from. It's the Big Tilt, man.
I wanted to leave you some space. I wanted to give you some space.
No, you can announce everything for me, okay? I'm all right. I don't have to say too much, Jason. I mean, you could just flatter me with just a brilliant introduction, which you started with, and you left off the Big Tilt, bro. Come on.
I'm sorry. It happens. It happens to the best of us. We're gonna keep things rolling for now. We hope to have my Trade God brethren, Matty Kiwoom, joining at some point today. He ended up getting stuck in traffic. That is the worst. He told us to go ahead and go, and we will be rocking and rolling here. Let's go ahead and do the usual. We're just going to break down some trades. How are you feeling? You got your trade mind on?
Dude, I'm ready to rock and roll, bro. I'm so galaxy brained right now. You don't even know, man. You don't even know.
The galaxy brain is on. Okay. Let's just go straight into some good old which trades fair.
Which trades fair?
All right, so our first trade.
Wait. That's the name of the segment? Like, all right, after I just talked about how a couple of these trades are so lopsided, we have to say if they're fair or not, because I don't know.
We'll see.
Some of these are bizarre.
And that's what makes it magic, right? You've got to tell us just which one is like the most fair, you know, at the end. Just keep it in your head. We'll roll back through them. But this is our first trade. This is brought to us. It's a 12-team league. It's PPR. It's super flex. It's tight end premium. It looks like it's even a little bit of a best ball action. Start 11. Jalen Waddle has been traded for Cooper Kupp and next year's second round pick. What are your initial thoughts here?
Oh, man. Start 11 starts to get a little bit tough, right? Like, that's where it starts to get a little bit tricky in 12-team leagues. Now, I'm assuming that one of those start 11s is probably defense. If not, if you're starting 11 players right off the bat, that's kind of where you want to have the depth of a second-round pick. But, I mean, Jalen Waddle at this point in his career, he was, wide receiver 7-ish? He was top 12 wide receiver at this time last year without Tua Tagovailoa. I don't know how you would hold on to Cooper Kupp if this offer came through. I get Cooper Kupp. He's a national treasure, right? 2022 seconds, great, but I'm expecting this 2024 class, to be a little bit more shallow than what we've seen in a couple previous years. I think it's going to be very top heavy. I'm very excited for this class, by the way. But in terms of getting a young stud, right, who might only have, I don't know, Jason, he might only have 2 years left, right, with Tyreek Hill, and then he'll be the wide receiver one in this offense with potentially a stud quarterback at the helm, a phenomenal offensive coordinator. I don't know how you don't go Jalen Waddle. I don't know how you don't go. I mean, Cooper Kupp's had a couple good years. Don't get me wrong. And when he's playing, he's great. But give me Jalen Waddle all day on this trade, man.
Yeah, I think I'm definitely with you there. If you're trading away Cooper Kupp, it hurts, right? You've probably had him for a couple years. You've had him for the glory days. And it just stings a little bit to even have to add a second round pick in the future. But yeah, you've got to go with the youth there, I believe. Jalen Waddle, back-to-back seasons of 15 points per game. You mentioned the games without Tua Tagovailoa, still good. A couple 20-pointers in there. Played well. Efficiency metrics, really good as well. Fourth in yards per out run, you would expect it to be a little bit shallower, but that's fantastic. Number one in yards per target and yards per reception. So a fantastic season for him. Hopes to get better. But are you perhaps a little concerned about Tua's long term?
No, because Miami can go ahead and draft another quarterback in the next couple of years. They've shown their aggressive organization as of late. You know, if Tua falls off, they'll probably take one bum year where they're trying to rebuild their defense and just go ahead and join the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And
hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
You know, the Houston Texans and the Arizona Cardinals and possibly the Rams in terms of like teams that need to rebuild, right?
Yeah.
So I feel like there'll be some, I don't know if this is, if this is okay for me to say, but some Brian Flores vibes where the team pretty much tanks in order to get an early pick in this upcoming draft. But also you have to take into account like best ball, right? And I know that best ball was a question here, but there's not a week that I'm not starting Jaylen Waddle. There's not a week that I'm not starting Cooper Kupp. I know that the best ball with guys like maybe a Donovan Peoples-Jones, you know, would make a difference, right? But typically Jaylen Waddle is going to give you, what, 70% of the weeks where he hits to a level where he'd be on your starting roster. Cooper Kupp's going to be there probably 85% of the weeks. So you might miss a week or two where you would have Cooper Kupp in there versus Waddle. But I think the ceiling overall is just as high. And then you have him for the longevity of what, 6-7 more years into his prime. Nothing really worries me. We just saw Jaylen Waddle still produce with, you know, nobody at quarterback essentially last year with a seventh round pick, right? There's no reason not believe that Jaylen Waddle is a real deal, but you brought up the efficiency metrics, right? And what's interesting is like his rookie year, he had such like a low ADOT. And he comes out like this year and just completely explodes because his offense is a whole different animal. And I know that we all worship Shanahan, right? Like Shanahan is you know, the coach, right? But then everybody's like, oh, don't believe in coaches. Coaches are lame. But we're seeing a difference in the play style and where they're getting the targets. And for best ball, baby, give me Jaylen Waddle in this offense all day. I don't care who's the quarterback.
Yeah. No, I mean, I think that's fair. I think
that's fair. You would think it's fair. I mean, it's honestly, man, like you got to pull the trigger if you're getting Jaylen Waddle. I think it's a fair trade. Like it's fair, but I'm taking the Waddle side.
But listen to these point totals from Cooper Kupp last season before the injury. 31.8, 31.8, 16.4, 26.2, 25.9. You know the rest, right?
Yeah, it's ridiculous, right? Ugh. So there was actually a stretch last year that lasted, I think, 4 or 5 games where Davante Adams actually had a better stretch than Cooper Kupp did all of, 2021, right? But I mean, like outside of that, you just don't see receivers put up the type of numbers that Cooper Kupp does when he's healthy. Yeah. The issue is Cooper Kupp has injury history, right? Now he's getting older and it's not like he's the fastest receiver. It's not like he's the quickest receiver. So maybe you're not worried about that, right? Maybe you're not worried about his actual skill set declining because he's just a very good wide receiver overall. But I mean, if I have a chance to get a guy who could end up being elite in an offense that should be elite with a quarterback that could be elite if he can stay healthy versus 1 year from wide receiver with a declining quarterback, still a good offense, you know, bad defense, that could help out. But there's just too many risks to take with Cooper Kupp versus taking a chance with Waddle where it's just like, okay, there's not too many things that can't go wrong because he's already proven he can do it without Tua.
Yeah, I am with you there. One final thought on this trade. If Matthew Stafford ends up, like in hindsight, finishing the season, are you still on the Jalen Waddle side?
Yeah.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Yeah, and honestly, like, I think that Matthew Stafford will finish the season. I think Matthew Stafford's actually fine, and I'm on Matthew Stafford this season in terms of quarterback that I might want to acquire for, like, a third-round pick if I can get him for a third-round pick, right? Mm-hmm. Like, he's a guy that I'm not fading. This defense is going to be bad. It's a good system. But how long do you have this? And in terms of getting a asset, right, in terms of, like, trading up, right, you want to try and move on from your depreciating assets when they lose value. Otherwise, you just ride into the ground. And that's cool if you're not getting a good offer, right? If you're not getting a player that's least comparable. But if you're going to take Jalen Waddle, who might see an average of 5 points per game less or so, which is still, that's a gap, right? But 5 points per game, you're not losing too many games within a 5-point gap, right?
Right.
It's not often that's going to happen. And with it being best ball, especially where it could end up blowing up your week, 5 points is essentially like nothing. So like I said, if we're talking about lower end guys, you know, where we're talking about a gap in a bigger, I guess, consistency metric versus upside metric, whether you don't have the depth or you do, it doesn't really matter to me. But when you're talking about two elite assets, I want the asset that is increasing value, not decreasing in value. And that's going to be Jalen Waddle. And all this 2024 second's good. Obviously, if he's acquiring Cooper Kupp, you know, it's something as to where, like, he thinks that he can win this season and he needs that elite boost, right? Like, he needs right. that boost to get him over that hump. And Cooper Kupp could provide that extra 5 points per game or whatever you think could end up happening. But for me, like, that 2024 is going to be late. I don't care about that. I don't care about Cooper Kupp and that 5 point difference. I'm taking Jalen Waddle and that, you know, increase in value because this time next year, Jalen Waddle is going to be worth twice what Cooper Kupp is.
Definitely. He almost already is, I believe. Yeah, wide receiver 6 right now, and Cooper Kupp's all the way down to wide receiver 17 currently.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, it's not even relatively close. Like,
right. So, cool. That is our thoughts on trade number one. Let's go ahead and check into an ad read, if you will.
Where's Maddie, man? Can somebody call Maddie? Can somebody get on the phone and call Maddie? We need him. We need him to come in right now. We need the other trade god. I'm sitting here just spitting stuff out. I don't even know what I'm talking about. I've never even done a podcast before. This is crazy.
You've done some podcasts. You're doing great. You're doing great. You're doing fantastic. He'll be here, hopefully, and we'll keep on rocking and rolling, right? Let's hear from the Injury Finder. This is an app that just came out, well, just updated with the 2023 class last week now, and it's great. It's great. Let's hear from the Podfather.
So cool.
Now, as we at Player Profiler have become a full-blown machine learning company, the crowning achievement has to be the Injury Finder. We're now taking BMI data and injury history data and assigning a probability that a player is injured on any given touch. And not only can you see a player's fragility rating, their injury risk, we also have analysis from professional physical therapists breaking down all the major players that underwent surgery last year and what their rehabilitation looks like heading into 2023. There's a tool to compare players. There's a database where you can say, show me all the foot injuries, show me all the severe injuries, show me all the injuries requiring surgery. It provides you the key market intelligence to know, what is the difference in probability that player X versus player Y will miss games this year? It's great for fantasy football, and it also just satisfies your curiosity as a fan. Go to the App Store, go to Google Play, download it. It's $5 every year just to reload the latest injury predictions and fragility ratings. The 2023 data is live now. Open your phone and get smarter.
Have you checked out this app at all yet?
Yeah, dude, it's sick. It's badass. I love it.
It's pretty good. If you want to see some surprises on it or just anything really in general, over at the kicked you out there. Over at the Player Profiler Instagram at Roto Underworld, we've had a couple slideshows going about some of our findings from the Injury Finder, as well as you can check out the articles section on our website. There's great stuff going on from all of our analysts all the time. Newest app, Injury Finder. Go get it on both the Google Play and the Apple App Store.
Can I give you a shout out real quick, by the way? You got to be one of the hardest working guys in the industry. I mean, you're starting your podcast, right, in the morning at 10 a.m., right? Every single day, I'm pretty sure. Well, at least weekday, right? And yeah. then you're going all the way until what? You're going to be going to like 9:30 tonight, dude. You're working like a 12-hour shift. You're probably doing fantasy football analysis this whole time, man. It's nuts. It's crazy. I don't know what you're doing over there, how you're staying awake, and how you're staying up to date. Big shout out to you, man.
Thank you. Thank you. It's a grind, but you know, there's a bunch of us all doing that. Just, you know, maybe a little quieter and maybe not doing the shows, but all of us are so involved in this fantastic, and I mean fantastic game that we play in fantasy football. It is great stuff. It is great, great stuff. My friend, would you like to check out trade number two?
Yeah, I'd love to.
Cool. Let's do it. Let me bring you back into the picture here.
Sorry, I was actually sitting there looking at our YouTube channel. People need to start hitting us with some hearts and some thumbs up, guys. We only got eight right now. Yeah, what's hit the thumbs on? Up button. Hit the thumbs up button. Hit subscribe.
No one. We got Yur from Jawweb 1223, and we got the good old Let's Go from the Hairy Snowman, and you in here. We coming. This is so before the coming. Show.
Yeah, man.
And now we're here.
Where's Harry in the chat? Where's Harry Snowman in the chat right now? He's normally live as hell.
Yeah, you know, sometimes he's got to be working late, you know, doing lawyer stuff. So
is that what he does? The Harry Snowman's a lawyer?
I think so. You know, from what I understand. So he's just going out there, you know, maybe popping in a Let's Go, and you know, doing all good stuff.
Dude, wait. Dude, that's crazy. How does he not melt in the courtroom, man? That's nuts. I also want to know how Snowman has hair, but... You know, we'll leave that for another time.
Harry Snowman, if you're out there, why and how does the snowman have hair? This is trade number two. It's a 10-team PPR league, super flex, start 9. AJ Dillon, Amon-Ra St. Brown, and the 203 this year was sent for a first-round pick next year and DJ Moore. When you look at this, what do you think?
Why? That's what I think. Why? Like, why would you go out? I'm sorry if this person's like in the chat, but like, why? If you're in the chat, please let me know. Leave it in the comments. Why? Because honestly, like you're talking about a significant jump from Amon-Ra St. Brown's value or perceived value in comparison to DJ Moore, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like they could have a similar output when the year's all said and done. I don't think that's going to happen, but they could have a similar output. However, the value's so different, right? Like you should be able to get a lot more than just AJ Dillon and then downgrade your draft pick. And if this guy, right, who we can't see his name, looks like it got blocked out possibly. I'm talking about the bottom one. If this guy over here, what's up, Jamie? What's up, Dave? How you guys doing? Sorry to distract away from the trade. I just want to say what's up to everybody listening. So I just don't understand why you would move down from Amon-Ra St. Brown to DJ Moore, right? And although you're getting a 2024 first, you're giving them a massive trade asset. And by the way, the craziest thing, this is a 10-team start 9, which is that's a small starting league. So, like, you are literally talking about an elite asset in Amon-Ra St. Brown that you're probably not going to have a chance to acquire ever again. The guy who has DJ Moore and the 2024 first, I'm sorry, bro, but unless you're just trying to stockpile draft picks and then you're going to go move DJ Moore, I don't understand the point of this. Amon-Ra St. Brown is likely worth two first-round picks in my eyes. And I'm talking about like mid-first rounds or early first and then mid-first. And then you're also – and so DJ Moore is not going to fetch you a mid-first. And that 2024 first is likely going to be a later one. Not guaranteed, but likely.
Mm-hmm.
And now you're going to throw in A.J. Dillon in the 203? Like I don't know if I would take this – if I was A.J. – or Amon-Ra St. Brown person, I don't know if I would take it if they offered me DJ Moore and the 2024 first. Would you do Amon-Ra for those two? Like, that's where,
no,
like...
No, like, I wouldn't.
I probably wouldn't. And now you're adding an A.J. Dillon to an offense that we don't know what it's going to look like, right? Like, they could end up running the ball a ton with A.J. Dillon. We saw him start at the gates really well last year. I think it was week one, and then he sucked for, you know, the whole time that the weather was warm, and then he took off in the playoffs. Like, there's a chance that he sees more of a role. And I don't think a lot of people are considering this. Mm-hmm. Aaron Rodgers in the pace of play was terrible. Like, he drug games out. He was one of the worst quarterbacks in terms of, like, accelerating offenses. When it came from the snap, the time of the snap, right, because he knew what play he was going to call. He already knew it, right? So he called the play, and then he just sat at the line, and he tried to read coverages. Well, he didn't try to. He read coverages because that's what he does, right? Tries to make people jump off sides. That's just what he does. Now we're talking about Jordan Love, who's probably not going to have the same tendencies that Aaron Rodgers had. Sure, they might be similar, but they're not going to be the same. He's not going to sit there and run the clock down until 3 seconds and snap it every time. So you have a slower pace of or a faster pace of play with a running back that should get more touches, So although like I'm not huge on AJ Dillon anymore, I was a huge AJ Dillon fan. I'm not that big on him anymore, but he's still going to be an asset for at least a flex spot a couple times a year, if not a handful, right? We could even see 8 weeks. Sometimes Aaron Jones, we could see 16 weeks where you're starting him.
Yeah.
And then you're giving up a 203, which that 203 in a lot of cases can be flipped for a late 2024 first. I've seen it happen many times in my league where it gets moved for that. I don't understand. I don't get this trade. It makes no sense to me. I don't know. Jason, can you give me any kind of insight to this trade? Is this a trade that you made?
No, I wish it was a trade I made. I have one share of Amon-Ra St. Brown in a dynasty league, and I honestly I wouldn't trade him. I think he's one of the definitions of just an untradeable asset. You've got youth, right? He's only, at this point, 23.6, already 2 years under his belt, coming off a 16.7 points per game season, 28.1% target share.
Fantastic. Spin hot fire. Let's go, Jason. Let's go.
Like, that's what you want. That's a player that you want. And honestly, I would argue, and this could be a hot take, I think Amon-Ra St. Brown down at wide receiver 7 is low. I think it's low. I think when it's all said and done, I think he could easily be top 5, maybe overtake CeeDee Lamb.
Higher? No, higher than CeeDee Lamb. Not without Ezekiel Elliott. I don't know, man. That's a little hot. I was going to ask you Amon-Ra or Waddle.
I would take Amon-Ra.
Would you? I think I'm more on Waddle, but I'm very close. And well, I didn't like Amon-Ra St. Brown coming out of college. I hated his final year in college. Like, he wasn't good, and he didn't look special. And so I thought that he would end up being an average wide receiver. I was dead wrong. I was dead wrong. I typically pretty good with my rookies, right? But I was dead wrong on Amon-Ra St. Brown. I don't understand this trade. I just don't get it. I don't get it.
Yeah, no, I don't get it either. It's perhaps
– this is probably Maddie's trade. Maddie probably traded for DJ Moore, didn't he?
That's what I'm thinking. But I think he likes Amon-Ra too. So I don't know. And he was an AJ Dillon guy. I don't know if he still is. I do want to go back to AJ Dillon. We won't have any DJ Moore talk because Maddie's not here. I just let him have the DJ Moore talk on the show. But I want to talk about AJ Dillon. You breezed over it. If something happens with Aaron Jones, AJ Dillon's value is through the roof. And
yeah, they don't have another option in that backfield that's going to take snaps away from him.
Yeah, and I mean, Aaron Jones has an injury history of his own, is on the final year of his contract, so up there in age. I mean, it's definitely, I mean, one of the best handcuffs to have, 28 and a half. So I love acquiring.
I don't even know if he's a handcuff. He's got standalone value.
Yeah, no, definitely.
He's got standalone, he's not quite, you know, Jamal Williams from last year, but he's got standalone value for sure.
Yeah.
Can somebody in the chat explain this trade to me, or is there anybody in the chat that would take the DJ Moore side? That's what I want to know. I want to know if anybody in a start 9-10 team super flex where you're only going to be starting 90 players, right? That's how the math works. Like, did I get that right? 10 teams times 9, that's 90, right? Like 90 players, that's nothing. Out of 32 teams, like that is crazy.
No, I'm plugging it into the trade analyzer right now just to see if like we're just off base. And this is a great tool to use if you're ever confused about, you know, how you're feeling in a trade. And it's fairly close over here. I'll pull it up on the screen. It is fairly close in the trade analyzer.
It's fairly close for Rizzle?
Yeah, it is. It is. It is in favor of the AJ Dillon and Amon-Ra St. Brown side, but only by 37.32 lifetime value points, which is pretty small considering these are trade values within the 300s. That's basically 10%. So, But, yeah, I guess it's probably clearing up two.
Wait. It's saying the rookie pick is number 15 overall. So that's where the trade analyzer is saying that we're not set to a 10-team start 9. Like, this is a completely different animal, I think, if you change that to a lower with a smaller roster, essentially. So let's just bump it down to, like, 20 players. That might be something we talked to Matt about, man. Like, hey, let's do a start how many, because there has to be a difference, right?
It looks like the players kept don't do too much.
Yeah.
You know, it's
all good regardless. It's just something where I'm like, okay, I want the elite player in that asset, right? Like, I want the elite guy. And DJ Moore, I like him a lot. I have him in a lot of rosters, but he's not elite.
No. And Amon-Ra has the ability to. I mean, DJ Moore could. I just think that, I don't know, I just can't in the Chicago Bears offense expect too much volume to DJ Moore. Darnell Mooney, I don't like him too much, but he's still there. They spent basically a first-round pick on Chase Claypool.
Chase Claypool's a top 3 wide receiver, right? according to him, at least.
to Chase Claypool, yes. He might be top one in his own eyes.
Yeah, he said top three last year. He's like, I'm a top three wide receiver in this league. Matt, remember those games, right, where he put up like four touchdowns and Ben Roethlisberger was still good? That happened. Chase Claypool had a four touchdown game.
What happened? Speaking of Chase, Jamie says they're only here for you. So shout
That's
out, Jamie.
That's not true. Jamie's just filling my head with smoke because he's probably going to send me a shitty trade offer here in a little bit in one of our leagues. And then, you know, he's literally just trying to butter me up. I know what you're doing, Jamie. It's not going to work.
That is how you trade, my friends. That is how you trade. Speaking of trading, trade number 312 team PPR, Superflex, start 10 league. Calvin Ridley and Trey Lance was sent away for Jared Goff, Paris Campbell, and Nico Collins.
This is where it gets freaky, right? All right, so this is what I promised myself. When you asked me to come on the show, I was like, I swear I won't talk about how it depends on your team, right? Like, because it's like that for every trade that you make, right? Like, maybe that DJ Moore one, he had so many wide receivers on his team. Like, he had Jamar Chase, Justin Jefferson, DK Metcalf. Like, he had a whole loaded roster, and he just wanted to add a pick because if not, he would have to cut one of his studs, right? Like, that's going to happen with any roster. I'm sure you guys talk about that every time. It's very team-dependent. But this one in particular is extremely team-dependent because this is almost like the Anthony Richardson-esque moment, right? Where, like, he's a luxury pick, and that's what Trey Lance looks like here. It looks like he's a luxury pick. Calvin Ridley's a luxury pick. This is a team that looks like he's sending off a bunch of his middling assets to acquire guys that could end up booming, they could end up busting. And regardless, if Calvin Ridley hits, he could win the trade. If Trey Lance hits and Calvin Ridley doesn't, he still ends up winning this trade. But if neither one hits, right, if Calvin Ridley ends up coming out kind of middling, right, Trey Lance kind of comes out middling. Meanwhile, he gives away a solid starter in Jared Goff, a flex option, Nico Collins, and some trash with Paris Campbell. That still could be flex option. Like, it just seems like he just had a bunch of trash on his roster. He's upgrading. And then the guy that has the Jared Goff side has no idea what he's doing. So essentially, like, I don't feel like this trade is as unfair as the last one we discussed. But obviously, you're looking at this trade and your mouth's watered because you're looking at Calvin Ridley. You're looking at Trey Lance. And you're just thinking about how great this upside could be, how elite your team could be, and how you could win for the next, you know, 2 years until Calvin Ridley turns 41 years old and he's out of the league, you know? So I don't even know if you got that one, but he's only 28. Okay. He's only 28, yeah. 41 in 2 years. Yeah. But unless I have the luxury of having, like, let's just say Jared Goff was my fourth quarterback and Daniel Jones was my third, and I had to decide which one to get rid of, unless I'm going for the ship, like, I don't want to sell away assets unless I need to. And I think that this is one of those trades that could be good for both sides because, for example, I'm in a league where my next bench starter at quarterback is Jameis Winston, and I've traded probably a total of 9 draft picks in the past 2.5-3 years for backup quarterbacks, and all my backup quarterbacks just keep on getting hurt or keep on falling off. Right. I'm not even kidding you. Like, I traded for Marcus Mariota. I traded for, like, Baker Mayfield at one point. I traded for Sam Darnold when he went to Carolina. I traded I'm not kidding you. I've traded away 9 total draft picks in the past 2 or 3 years for backup quarterbacks. My whole roster is depleted outside of my starters. My starters are stacked. Yeah. I'm stacked at starter. Like, I have Justin Jefferson. I have I've got Jalen Waddle. I've got, like, all studs at all my starter positions, but all my backups, like, Malik Davis is probably my best backup on my entire roster because I've traded away all of my second and third round picks to acquire shitty quarterbacks that aren't going to make a difference that fell off, you know? So yeah, I'm not kidding. Yeah. Malik Davis. You had to think about that for a second, didn't you? Yeah. I saw your eyes go up. Yeah. Like, wait, who's that again? I'm not even kidding you. That's how bad my roster is. So, like, this is something that I would appreciate on a roster like that. You know, I'd appreciate it in Paris Campbell. I'd appreciate offering it, adding Nico Collins. Jared Goff gives me at least a year at quarterback. So if one of my quarterbacks goes down in super flex, I still got another guy. So like I said, I mean, if Trey Lance doesn't start, I'm screwed. Like, I have no chance. So I want to add a solid backup at quarterback. That's the only scenario this trade actually works out, right? Like, for the other side, is if one of these guys busts and you get stability from two of these three players.
Yeah, I think you brought it up at the beginning that the team trading away Jared Goff in order to get Trey Lance, Jared Goff probably wasn't really sniffing this guy's roster very often. This guy is pretty loaded at quarterback at that point. So to just take the lottery ticket with Trey Lance, you know, hope that he proves himself the like week or two he gets before Brock Purdy gets healthy, hope that they move away from him or even perhaps trade him away to a team that does believe in him. And then they hope, like you said, that Calvin Ridley bounces back, is the Calvin Ridley of old. Then, yeah, these are, as you said, luxury assets to get. But I just can't. So with that roster decision, you've got to go with the Calvin Ridley, Trey Lance side because they don't necessarily need Jared Goff. But I think at the end of the day, if you're just throwing a blanket across the board, getting Jared Goff is better than getting Calvin Ridley. It's better than getting Trey Lance. And then getting those wide receivers, Paris Campbell and Nico Collins, both of which could pop off at any moment. Probably leaning more Nico Collins, if you're to ask me. But still, good assets in that trade that I think if we're just talking team to team, I would normally go with the Jared Goff side. But taking into account what probably is happening with the team trading away Jared Goff, then you take the Ridley Trey Lance side. Do you have any thoughts on Paris Campbell or Nico Collins?
Dude, it's tough, man. So Dan Campbell wants Dable, right?
Yeah.
He wants versatility, right? He wants to be able to move guys around. You know, we saw the off season practices, which was somewhat bizarre, but all we saw was people running motions and getting sent into different spots the entire off season. Like, you know, you do your show at 10 a.m. Eastern time every morning, right? And you have these clips of off season, and like, you know, some are cool, right? Like some are fun to watch, but the majority of them kind of suck. This one was super interesting because all you're seeing is Daniel Jones just waving guys around. It was like a freaking airstrip, right? Of like guys just running around like crazy, trying to find different spots to line up in because they were like, all right, you're going here, you're going here. And some of it was in the middle of a play call, right? Like they're running motions and stuff. So yeah. Paris Campbell's actually interchangeable. And although he didn't put up big numbers last year because they had shitty quarterback play, he's proven that when he's healthy, by the way, he's not always healthy, he still can be a viable flex option from week to week. I don't love Paris Campbell. I'm not trying to acquire him. But if he wants, if he's on a team and I need just a little bit more, right? I just need that extra squeeze of juice. I'll take Paris Campbell as that guy. Very similar to how I'll take Nico Collins. They're probably very close to me. Maybe Nico Collins a little more than Paris Campbell. Actually, probably Nico Collins a full couple rounds ahead of Paris Campbell. But neither one I want, but they could both offer flex weeks options.
Yeah. Yeah, they can. And as you mentioned with Paris Campbell, he does have a few games. I mean, last season alone, he had 2 20-point performances. So, you know, Paris Campbell maybe is the guy to break out on the Giants offense. They brought in a bunch of speedsters this offseason. That's something they definitely want to add. Let's check out. Go ahead.
Are you about to call Jamie in the chat? Because he's been literally posting his freaking trade everywhere. I've seen it on Facebook. I've seen it in our chats on YouTube. I've now seen it in y'all's chats on YouTube. I think he posted this morning on your show. Right, he just wants to get a pat on the back for this move that he made to acquire JSN, and he is so happy right now. I don't even know if we want to pull it up. Should we even pull it up? I mean,
yeah, it's right there. It's pulled up.
I don't even know if we want to give him credit because all he does is just post these trades where he just completely, takes advantage of people. It's terrible, Jamie. You're terrible, bro.
Jamie sent away QJ, Quinton Johnson, and Rondale Moore for Jaxon Smith-Njigba, and they were planning on dropping Rondale. Which I don't know if you'd really want to be dropping Rondale nowadays with DeAndre Hopkins saying goodbye. Maybe we could talk about that a little bit at some point if that's involved in a trade. But still a great trade. I'm a big JSN guy. Huge JSN guy.
This was a steal. That's what I love Rondale Moore. I at one point in time, I traded away in a single quarterback league. I traded away Justin Herbert, who just had his breakout year, for Trevor Lawrence and Rondale Moore, which are essentially back-to-back picks. It's like the 111-112. I traded away Justin Herbert for that. Justin Herbert was on fire, and that's how much I love Rondale Moore. Yeah. Unfortunately, he hasn't amounted to anything, whether that's his role, the coaching staff, whatever it is. So it makes me nervous, but, I mean, that's a steal. Like, JSN is the only tier one guy, the only tier one wide receiver. I don't like Addison. I don't like Quentin Johnson, really. Zay Flowers is okay. I like him for his value. But in terms of being on JSN's level, none of these guys are here. So you're pretty much trading, you know, 2 dimes for a quarter.
Yeah.
I should say 2 nickels for a quarter because 2 dimes, it just seems too fine, right? Like a dime's a good thing. You know, I don't know.
Yeah, that is true. That is true. You've got to say two nickels for a dime, maybe trading away the dime that you like, and then.
Oh yeah, two nickels for a dime. No, because he's not worth it. I wanted to come up short.
Trade right? a dime.
I said two yeah, dimes yeah. For a quarter. I was like, yeah I'm going 5 cents short, right? So I can't say two nickels for a dime. Come on.
You got to say a nickel of 3 pennies.
Yeah. You're trading away a nickel and 3 pennies, bro. That's our new saying, right? You're trading away a nickel and 3 pennies for a dime.
Let's bounce into another trade.
Is a 3 and a 5 worth a 10? Are you taking a 3 and a 5 together versus?
No, I definitely want a 10 there.
I don't know what we're talking about anymore. I think it's
still let's talk about one of your trades, because you actually you sent us a couple trades to break down.
Yeah. Yeah, these are some
these are monsters. These list. Are monsters. So why don't you just talk about this? This is a 32 team PPR IDP single quarterback. So this is real NFL simulation going on in this league, except for it being start 12, because there should only be 11 if I remember correctly.
I just saw Dave's comment in the chat, and I think it's freaking hilarious. He said he traded away 2 balls for a sack. Sorry. So this is absolutely absurd. The way our league is, it's a 32 teamer. I wonder how many listeners we're gonna lose talking about a 32 team league. We have a great trade coming up for this next one, right? So don't leave just yet. We got a great trade coming up. Don't get too bored with my 32 teamer. In fact, just listen and maybe you'll be into it, because 32 teamers are typically boring, but if you combine 32 active members, it's amazing. And when you see trades like this happen, it opens up the whole league, because you know that one team didn't want all 5 of these assets for either one. It's a 10 player trade. When was the last time you did a 10 player trade?
I don't think ever, probably.
It's a lot. It's a lot. Yeah. And that's why it's so exciting for my next trade, because it's a 3-team trade, which I'm stoked to talk
nice.
About.
Nice.
But for this one in particular, we're dealing with elite assets in terms of DeAndre Hopkins, Chris Godwin, Austin Eckler, right? Then you have Alan Lazard, who's still a chip, right? Like, he's still somebody that can start in the flex spot. And then you have a 2024 second round pick. Mm-hmm. On the other side, you have a team that is stacked, by the way. I know we don't have the teams up there, but he felt like he could move some assets. You've got Mingo, you've got Chubb, you've got Myers, you got Williams, you got Bigsby. And as soon as the trade happened, I was like, dude, what are you doing? Because I'm actually good friends with the person on the top. I was like, dude, like, I know you're stacked and you're trying to find some younger assets, but like, what you just did was kind of asinine, bro. He's like, oh, I got somebody that wants Chubb. And so that's kind of what you got to do with certain trades like this. Is somebody wanted to trade an early first round pick for Chubb. And in a 32 team league, like, a first round pick early is golden. It's literally golden. But what we didn't talk about was the scoring, right? So a middle linebacker, stud linebacker, like I have, what's his name over there for Jacksonville?
Devin Lloyd? Foye Aluakon.
Yes, Foye Aluakon. So I've got him, and he scored 40 points more than the second place person scoring in the league.
Yeah.
He scored 200 points more than the quarterback did.
Yeah.
So like, it's just ridiculous defensive scoring. So what he needs essentially is depth, right? He needs to provide himself the future, because he has good enough defense to be able to provide him points to get about 3/4 of a way, or probably about halfway. No, about 3/4 way to a win. So his defense is stacked, right? So he's using these other trade chips, which won't get him anywhere close to a win, because the defenses are so stacked that he's using these assets as names, right? And that's very important in fantasy football. Like, when you have guys that have big names, and you have other guys that might have great metrics, which if you go to playerprofiler.com and you check out like some of these metrics, such as the air yards, I think I saw something today, right? Podfather was talking about Olave, number 3 in air yards as a rookie.
Yep.
That's nuts, right? So like finding stuff like that while using names to leverage against other people is tremendous. And that's how you find values in terms of future investments. So paying attention to league rules obviously is very important, but essentially having enough depth to be able to get you X amount of points every week. I like the top. I really do. I think Tank Bigsby will be an option that gets you 8 points a week. Doesn't seem like a lot, but you just need points at that point, right? Like, you just need guaranteed points, because you have a defender, middle linebacker, that's putting up 35 points a game.
Yeah.
Right. Meanwhile, you have a starter in Chris Godwin putting up 14. So that's not nearly as valuable as like a defender is. Meanwhile, you have Tank Bigsby who's going to be in the league for the next 5-6 years putting up 8 points a game. Chris Godwin might not be there at that point. DeAndre Hopkins might not be there at that point. So when you have assets that don't give you as much value in terms of lifetime expectancy, right? In terms of comparison to defenses, you want to try to fill those void points like you would a kicker, right? Where you just know that kicker is going to get you points because you know they're not going to score in the red zone. So you just hope that he gives you 6 to 8 points a game. So for me, I like the top one. I think it's intelligent. I think it's smart. I think you have upside with Jameson Williams that could get you Chris Godwin type numbers. Meanwhile, the rest of it is replaceable. And when you get a first round pick early for Nick Chubb, it's great.
Yeah, I mean, the first round pick for Nick Chubb is fantastic. And that does definitely help the trade. You know, I'm a Jameson Williams guy.
Yeah. We saw the video earlier today. We saw that video.
Yeah, it was a great video. Great video. I mean, I had to pull that up just because it's Jameson Williams. I'll look at anything that that guy does on the football field. I'm excited to see his upside. But, I mean, these trading away Eckler, Hopkins, Godwin, I mean, is a lot. It's a lot. So, I mean, I know the team has defensive help, and that's huge in IDP. And shout out to that. I love my IDP leagues. Those are my favorite. Any league with IDP leagues. They're fantastic. Or scoring. It's just fantastic.
Like, it's great. It's like 0.05% of people that play fantasy football play IDP. And it's like you guys are missing out on so much stuff. Like there's just so much more fun to be had. Like you're not just rooting for awesome offensive players. You're rooting for defensive players. And you don't really have to understand that much with IDP. It's like, oh, is this guy going to make a ton of tackles because of the role that he plays in this offense? Yeah. Why not root for a guy on defense?
It's awesome. I won the game to make the playoffs last year on a Monday Night Football fourth quarter sack from Preston Smith. Needed him to get a sack in the fourth quarter to make the playoffs, and the madman did it. I've never, like, that was just so exhilarating. It was special.
I don't want to talk about it because the exact opposite thing happened to me. I had IDP guy, defensive end for Miami, who was averaging 10 points a game.
Yeah.
I needed 0.5 and he didn't get a single freaking tackle. But anyways.
Happens. So I think all in all, though, I think I would probably go the side with the older assets just because, you know, it's probably helping them win a championship. Both of these teams coming out on top. But when you're getting DeAndre Hopkins, Austin Eckler, Chris Godwin, and only having to really trade away Jonathan Mingo, Jameson Williams, and Nick Chubb. Man, I don't know. I do like Jameson Williams. This is very close. We'll go with you. We'll go with
honestly,
you.
Honestly, like, it's understanding the point scale, right? Like, yeah. I sent him this trade more so. Well, first off, he asked me for something kinky. Oh no, he said let's get weird, not kinky.
Yeah, he said let's
get weird. I was thinking kinky. That was my fault. I was thinking kinky. He said weird. It's just more so about understanding your league, right? And when it comes to point differentials, percentages based off of your scoring, right? Like, there's not as big of a percentage that a wide receiver would put up over another wide receiver as it would be from defense. So in terms of overall score, you're only talking about, like, for example, Chris Godwin, if he has a massive game, like 25 point game, that still only accounts for maybe 10% of your overall scoring. So it's really not that big of a point differential when your defense is putting up so much. So like he had the luxury of being able to move out and still guarantee himself X amount of points, but he's getting 4% of the points on average versus 6% of the points. So overall, you're not really giving up that much. When it comes to guys that can produce on your team, if you lose a player, you're losing 10%, and now you have 0% because 32 team leagues are so deep that you won't have a starter once these guys retire sometimes.
Yeah, no, I think that's fair. It's 32 team league sounds amazing. But it's
amazing and brutal at the same time.
Yeah, it's got to be extremely stressful. And I like, trading away older assets is even more important in that kind of format, because what the hell are you going to do if DeAndre Hopkins just retires or gets hurt in week two and doesn't play again? You're screwed. So we're going with the younger assets. We're going with the team that got Jameson Williams because they got Jameson Williams. You sent in one other trade. It's a three-team trade. Lamar Jackson, the 107. And the 307, it goes to you, it looks like. It looks like you got those assets in a 12-team super flex start 10, half PPR. So I bet you're excited about getting Lamar right now. And you only sent away maybe the 102, and then there's some other picks involved all over here. I'm just going to tell you this. Let's talk about Lamar Jackson. What makes you want to acquire him right now?
So this was where it got tricky, right? Because it says 0.5 for first downs. That's for rushing and receiving, not for passing, right? Yeah. The bigger aspect to this was it's only 0.6 or 0.4, or I'm sorry, 4 points for a passing touchdown, 6 points for rushing receiving touchdown. So automatically, Mark Jackson vaults himself from like what, QB 6 or 7, depending on how you view things, to QB 3 or 4. If he has a year that he starts throughout the entire year, could be QB 1.
Yeah.
So obviously, like, it doesn't show what each team gave up, which kind of changes everything. Obviously, the 102 didn't give up a whole bunch of stuff. He gave up, I think, the 107 and the 201 and the 307, or maybe he gave up the 2024 first and then the 107 to move up to 102 because he wanted Anthony Richardson, right? He's got a young team that's thriving, right? They're thriving, Jason. That they're yeah. really coming out on top, you know, here in a couple of years. So he wanted Anthony Richardson. It was more of a luxury pick. He wanted to move up and grab that asset. Meanwhile, he was fine at running back and wide receiver. So he saw no point in keeping the 107, which was the major asset that was immediately available. He's like, well, how am I going to end up with, like, you know, a chain? Like, who's a beast, by the way. Yes, you should have kept it so you could end up with the chain. That's why I grabbed the 107. But I gave up the 103, the 104, the 201, and I think that was it. Yeah, I think I gave it the 103, the 104, and the 201. Right off the bat with Lamar Jackson, like you brought up, just the point scoring in the system made him way more appealing. Meanwhile, I needed a secondary quarterback. I had Josh Allen, and then I had Daniel Jones. So I could either take a shot on a younger guy with Bryce Young, right? I could also, because obviously 102 is automatically going to go to Anthony Richardson. So Bryce Young, CJ Stroud, whoever you had a preference of, but I also needed help with the wide receiver position and the running back position. So by moving out of this, I was able to grab Devin Achane at the 107. I was able to help the quarterback position. And then meanwhile, I was able to trade for another wide receiver a little bit later on. I think I ended up grabbing like Denzel Mims, Jaden Reed, somebody like that. I was also stacked with draft picks in this league. So I just felt like there is more of an upside in this type of league to have Josh Allen, to have Lamar Jackson, and to have Daniel Jones. Rather than have – I wouldn't have gotten Anthony Richardson. So rather than have Bryce Young, CJ Stroud, another one of these guys, because essentially one of these quarterbacks can end up getting hurt, you know, on an opposing team, and I'm gonna be able to move Daniel Jones for a quarterback plus, maybe a first round pick plus, depending on how Daniel Jones starts out the year, most likely a second round pick though, and acquire just more value essentially off the bat. So for me, this was something that was no brainer at first. And spoiler, I actually got the other two guys to be like, okay, I'm down. And then I didn't take the trade. This whole thing never actually, I set it all up. And then I bailed the last minute. I was like, I kind of want Bryce Young. And me and you were talking on a show. And I actually declined the trade in the middle of our show, which is why I wanted to bring this one up. It's because I started getting so high on Bryce Young in the middle of our show. Because you're like, what do you like about Bryce Young? Why do you like Bryce Young? You know, he's so small, you're not afraid of getting hurt. And I was like, actually, no, like, I'm not really. So I ended up declining this, and I took Bryce Young over top of Lamar Jackson. I still ended up acquiring the 107, got Devin Chain at the 107. Nice. But yeah, so to be honest with you, I should have taken this trade 100%. How do you feel about it? Like, do you feel like I should have taken it? Do you feel like I should have pulled the trigger on this?
I wish it's. I mean, I think so, because I do at my core believe that Lamar Jackson is a buy right now. I do love that you just pivoted, decided to stick with the assets that you have, the assets that you've worked so hard to put together for your team already, and just stick with what you've got. You know, I love Devon Achane. Bryce Young, as we just talked about, he could end up being really fantastic. He really, really could be one of the best quarterbacks in this league if he can stay healthy. So,
and I got Jamar Gibbs.
There you go. Oh, so I mean,
look who's in here. It's the hairiest of all snowmen. He's finally back. We talked about you for like 30 minutes, bro. We were waiting for you to come back. We literally talked about you for 30 minutes, and now you're in here 49 minutes in the show. So we've only gotten to talk about fantasy football for 19 out of the 50 minutes now.
You're supposed to explain how the snowman got hairy, Mr. Hairy Snowman. So if you please enlighten us. But yeah, I mean, I think again, I'm taking Lamar in any trade, really. I do think overall it's a pretty fair trade. tough to break down without seeing the all like which teams traded which, but
yeah, still. you want to hear my team now because it's pretty insane with all the draft picks I had in this one.
Just give us your top five players.
Oh, dude, I can't give you top five. I have like top 20.
No, just give us your top five.
So I got Jahmyr Gibbs, Josh Allen, Jahmyr Gibbs, Bijan Robinson, CeeDee Lamb, Chris Godwin, Drake London, Dalton Kincaid, nice. Gabe Davis, Daniel Jones, and then A-Chain.
Nice. I don't know why Gabe Davis was thrown in there, but you know.
Well. Sorry, it was on the list right below A-Chain. So like A-Chain's way better.
Gabe Davis thrown in there. All right, so those are our trades that we broke down. This trade one. Well, I'm just gonna pull them up on the screen. If you remember which one you felt was the most fair. Again, this was trade one. Waddle for Cup in a second. Amon-Ra, AJ Dillon. This one we did not feel was fair at all, but this was the Amon-Ra for DJ Moore essentially trade. Calvin Ridley, Trey Lance traded away for Jared Goff and some wide receivers. And then your two trades that you did, the 32 team and the 12 team. Which of those did you think was the most fair?
It had to be trade number one. Like I was tilting super hard with trade number one. I think that's by far the most fair. I mean, the other ones work too. Like we all agreed on it. And at the end of the day, which team wins you the most championships? Like which one, first off, one championship will get you typically a buyback into that league for 6 years. So if you can win one championship with your team, you have a 6 year grace period before you have to win another one. For me, I like to win every 3 years. Typically, like I want to win 3 out of 6 years essentially. So I need to always increase my value. You know, if you end up winning with Cooper Kupp in the 2024 second round pick, that's still a win, right? That still buys you 6 years. So I feel like that was fair on that end. I feel like it's fair on the Waddle end. If Waddle can be that stud and get you that championship for even more years, that's great. Chances are, it looks like this team right here is probably, like this trade right here, these two teams, are probably going to win 3 to 4 to the next 6 years, possibly.
Yeah.
At least be in the championship.
Yeah, I'm with you there. I also think that is the most fair trade. Mostly because, you know, this 32-team trade was just a little bit too much going on. And then the Lamar trade didn't even happen. You pulled a trade on the show that didn't even happen. It was a whole thing.
I proposed it. I got a vote to approve it. You know what's funny is they still made the trade without me. They still made the trade happen without me getting Lamar Jackson, which I was pissed about. It ruined my entire strategy, my draft. So lesson learned. Listen, like I love three-way trades. I'll make it happen all the time. But don't get two guys into a trade that can make it happen without you being involved, because then it screws up your whole strategy after you bounce out.
It's definitely happened to me more than a couple times. It sucks when that happens. It's like we were negotiating first, but something needed to come together. You add in a third person. That third person is like, wait, this player's available? A trade's involving this guy. I'm just going to go send for him. And then they just go behind your back.
And screw you over. And then you're left homeless on the street. Because now the two... Never mind. I'm not even going to go into that.
But it sucks. Point is, it sucks.
Somebody's sucking. Yeah. No, the reality
of it. Real quick, we've prepared some buy and sell candidates. So let's go ahead and jump right into that.
It's time to buy and sell.
So actually, right now, we've each got some assets that we're buying. It was a buy or sell. And you are buying 2024 rookie picks right now. You are ready. And I am buying Leonard Fournette.
For what? What are you buying Leonard Fournette for?
I mean, I just, at this point with Leonard Fournette, he is just rock bottom, basically pennies on a dollar, not signed. And tomorrow, June 2nd, is when a lot of teams, especially the Miami Dolphins are one of them, are going to free up some money by releasing some players. And he's going to get signed and he's going to get used.
No, he doesn't have the speed to use Miami's offense. Maybe he lines up with Arizona, right? Like, and he lines up in Dallas, right? But, like, what are you sending off? Because the person that has Leonard Fournette obviously believes the same thing you do.
Maybe. I mean, I think you could probably send out, like, a next year's third or maybe another aging asset, maybe a handcuff to a running back that they own. Like, say they own Breece Hall and you've got, like, Israel Abanikanda or something like Michael Carter, like one of those. Or you've just lucked into Keontae Ingram and you're trading with the James Conner owner, something like that, where I think you could go get Leonard Fournette off their roster. They think he's clogging it up and you can get him and ride him out for one more year. This is probably specifically for contending teams. There's really no point to trade for Leonard Fournette.
Do you think, all right, so if you acquired Leonard Fournette, right, at a cheap price, Are you somebody that wants to move him as soon as you get him to another contending team that needs a handcuff?
Possibly. I mean, if you do end up not actually needing Leonard Fournette, then yeah, because I do believe at the very least his value will be more than what it is right now when he does actually sign with the team. At least
yeah.
among everyone, just a consensus of the fantasy football community. And I mean, while his efficiency wasn't great, he was still 13th in yards created. He had 13th in yards per route run. And you know, he's just a receiving back in general, but one of the best catching ones with number one in catch rate, the third most receiving yards. I know that's all Tom Brady, but still, I mean, if he's brought in, he's going to satisfy that role for some offense, maybe not as much volume, but still decent enough to where he can get you double-digit point games, round out your roster for not too much at the end of the day.
Did you put this this actual like overlay together? I'm just curious.
Maddie built the templates.
I'm pretty sure Maddie did this to you on purpose, where he put in a like 35-year-old linebacker that looks like he recovered a punt recovered a fumble on a punt, and he's returning it for a touchdown, because that does not look like a running back to me. That does not look like a running back. Maddie did you so dirty on this overlay right here. This is so bad. Oh my God.
Dude, here, Maddie. How about we just look at the highlight reel?
We're going to have to pull these off runs. A 35-year-old linebacker.
Well, he had a 137-yard game. He had 400-yard games last year. That 35-year-old linebacker still has something left in the tank.
He just did you dirty. He just did you dirty, and I hope that you repay him the favor at some point.
This is you're right. Look at this run. Look at this run, audience. He is a linebacker. Look at that.
Oh my God. No, I don't hate Leonard Fournette. It's one of my biggest fears. He ends up back with Tampa Bay in terms of the guys that like I have a lot of Rashad White rostered. So I have a big fear that he goes back to Tampa Bay. I definitely think that he's a value at this point. However, I'm only trying to acquire him if I can move a third round pick for him, right? Yeah. Like I don't want to trade an asset that could be a handcuff, because that handcuff could be worth a lot more in a couple months when somebody gets injured. Leonard Fournette, meanwhile, probably won't increase in value. After the initial boost of when he signs with the team.
Right.
Once he signs with the team, that's going to be the most he's ever worth. Even if an injury happens, unless somebody's just a big Leonard Fournette fan, which something tells me that nobody's really a big Leonard Fournette fan anymore. I just don't see how he increases value. So if you want to move him right now, or if you want to make a move for him with that third round pick, you want to try and ride him out. I get it. That's cool. Yep. If you want to try to move him, that's probably the better idea as soon as he signs with the team. So that makes a lot of sense. You know, you were on it. You nailed it with the first round cuts. I don't think he's going to land up with Miami because they like speed. Like you look at every position they have, they're all fast as fuck, boy. Like they're fast as fuck.
So they just need a 35-year-old linebacker.
Yeah.
A couple of Tua's screen.
If he goes there, he's going there as a fullback. All right. A-Chain ain't having that shit. A-Chain's going to be running Speedy Gonzalez circles around him as he's running down the field. He's like, okay, what do we do now?
So you're buying 2024 rookie picks. I'll let you talk a little bit about it. But first, are there any rookies that you're targeting in general with these, or you're just kind of looking forward to the future?
No, this is the last chance you got, babe. Like, this is the last chance that you have to acquire 2024 pick before they go through the roof. Because once training camp reports start coming out, once the rookies get injured, right? And people start, you know, losing faith in rookies that get injured because of, like, their path. Think about this, dude. I don't know if you ever have. Maybe you have. Like, the time that it takes you to go from college, right? And then you play in the senior, or then you play in your bowl games. And then you have to finish off your school, and you have to prep for the draft, and you have to do the combine, you have to do the senior, you have to do so many different things, right? And then you get drafted, but in the meantime, right before you get drafted, you have to do all this work, you have to do all these interviews, you have to do all these private workouts, right?
Right.
And then you go into the rookie OTAs. Like, there's no point in your entire time where you get a rest. It's the hardest you have to work from the time you come. From the time before you come into the NFL to the time that your season starts, that is the hardest work you'll ever have to do in your entire life, probably, right? Because all these other veterans, they get a rest, right? Mm-hmm. Like during the combine, these veterans are going on banana boats and stuff, right? They're sitting there hanging out with each other. They're going on vacations. They're eating good food. They're hanging out with their family. Like, you get a break. You don't get a break with these rookies. So then when you go in and you have to do these rookie OTAs, you have to do the offseason programs, these rookies end up wearing down and they get hurt. And you get these reports out where some of these rookies fall off. That's when people are trying to move the rookies that they just drafted for 2024 picks, because they start to lose faith that a rookie can perform at a high level. Mm-hmm. And if one gets hurt for a whole season, one gets hurt for half season, they're like, well, I might as well just reset, right? I might as well just go take a 2024 pick and reset and not go with the guy that started out his career injured. So essentially 2024 picks, this is your last chance to buy before we start seeing the offseason hype and for players really get a chance to get injured. So take that opportunity to move off your current rookie picks you might have drafted in the third round, try to acquire a second round pick for him in 2024 and increase that capital that you receive, because there's one thing that's always fluid, right? There's one thing that's always guaranteed and fluid in fantasy football. One thing, right? And that's rookie draft picks from one season to the next. There's nothing else that's guaranteed. We can't guarantee a player will be worth more because of injuries, right? They could have bad performances. Outside of a tight end that you take in the third or fourth round of a rookie draft, there is not a single position that increases in value outside of that one. The only player to do so in the past 5 years to decrease in value in terms of average ADP for a startup draft from the end of May till the startup of March the following season is Devin Asiasi at the tight end position. So in terms of late round rookie tight ends, it's bizarre. But yeah, outside of that, there's no other reliable thing that can increase in value from this time this year to the start of the season next year outside of draft picks.
No, and that's a fantastic point. The only thing that is sure in fantasy football is losing by a decimal in at least 1 week of your year, of your season. And then your rookie picks becoming more and more valuable as the season goes on, as the draft gets closer and closer. That is a sure thing. So go get them now, because we're in the heat of 2023 drafts right now.
This is your last chance to buy before we see it double in value.
Definitely. So that is a great point. Chase, thank you for joining me. This was fantastic. Why don't you tell the people where to find you?
You can find me talking somewhere, obviously. If you haven't been able to tell from this episode, I could pretty much talk for days. Sometimes I get a little lonely and I talk to grandma back here with her middle finger up. Really just depends on how I'm feeling. I got a window right here you can watch me from, but otherwise you guys can find me on Twitter at @FF_intervention. It's at @FF_intervention over there on Twitter.
Nice. Thank you for joining me. Any final thoughts before we sign off today's episode?
Dude, if you ask me that question again, we're going to go until 2 hours long. All right. So you might as well get off while you can.
All right. Well, everyone, thanks for listening. We'll see you next week, 8 p.m. here on this YouTube channel with the great Matty Kiwu making a triumphant return. This was Trade Gods. Thank you, Chase. Thank you for listening. Peace.
Hey, you like that video? Bye. Be sure to subscribe and activate those alerts so you get notified as soon as new videos drop. And be sure to check out playerprofiler.com. We have all the tools for you to dominate every type of fantasy league. We have a draft kit, Dynasty Deluxe, Data Analysis, DFS Dominator, and don't forget the player rankings to rule them all.